uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It is Wednesday, December the 14th, now into Thursday, December the 15th, 2011, and we are live here with you tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com, and that's where we're broadcasting live from tonight. So if you're picking us up out there and you're listening somewhere out there, either here on Earth or out there in the cosmos or somewhere out there on the World Wide Web, thanks for being with us here, and glad you could join us. We're going to get into, tonight, it was one of those wild card nights. You're like, oh man, not a lot of material tonight, so. Up in the air of whether or not I was going to do a show tonight, but I think that's going to be my new standing rule. I instituted that last night, and I felt really good about that. And I think that's going to be my new rule for the show, for news, is I'm going to, from now on, for the eternity of my shows, I am going to only do as much news per day as I can do without puking in my mouth and all over myself. How's that sound? Some days that's probably going to be a low threshold. There's probably going to be some days I'm going to look at 3 fucking news stories and go, you know what? I want to puke in my mouth and all over myself. That's all we're doing. There might be other days where, you know, I do 30 or 40 or 50 news stories. Who knows? You know, depends on what that puke threshold is for this news, and it seems to get, the threshold gets lower and lower and lower. So I'm going to keep on doing it that way until you know what I mean? Because it's just, seriously, there's it's like all I can stand to even do is just. So I can't really do it anymore. And I felt a lot better about that. You know what I mean? I felt good about that last night. So we'll do that tonight as well here on the broadcast. If you have emails you want to send in anytime for submission to the broadcast for me to read or read on air, if you have stuff you don't want me to read on air, you want to ask me or whatever, just make sure you put on there, do not read on air, and I won't have a problem doing that for you. But globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's where you send all your emails over, and that's where we're going to be taking emails tonight. If you got questions, comments, anything like that, tell me to read here on the air during the show. Please send them over there, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Again, at my website, we have my newest documentary film, The Seawright Volume 2, which is in production right now at the manufacturing plant. I think we're supposed to be expecting those middle of next week. So it's getting close, man. You're going to be getting Blu-rays and DVDs and all kinds of stuff in your hands real soon. And, you know, again, I, uh, I'm excited. I was really excited when I went and sent the thing off, you know. But I'm very excited about this, and I think it's definitely an accomplishment, and a lot all you that helped make that happen are a part of that accomplishment. So it's pretty cool. But Govarelli website there under the documentary tab. Scroll down to where it says the Sea Ride Volume 2 pay-per-view. Click on that, and then you'll find a menu down there below the pay-per-view viewer where you can watch the whole movie for $5 right now on demand. And, you know, yeah, you got to understand if you got an older computer or a slow connection or live in certain parts of the world where bandwidth is capped and stuff like that of that nature, you know, you're not going to be, you might have, you know, varied effects. You know, there's no guarantee on the pay-per-view thing. I said that from Jump Street, but there's, because some people it works, we've had some people it works fine for, no problems. And I got other people that's telling me to have a computer from 1999 and they're wondering why it won't play. You know, that's not on my end, dude. That's, you know, that's not something, I don't claim to try and make my movies 1999 computer friendly. I just don't. Same thing with my show. That's why I broadcast in 128K. Well, I have 128K archives. I like the high fidelity. I like the high quality. Computers are so goddamn cheap now. I mean, come on, dude. Really? You're still running a computer for 1999? You can't get a computer older than 1999. You're really that dirt poor? I mean, they're giving away computers newer than that, dude, for nothing. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just that's hard for me to try and, you know, be some kind of half-ass tech support for when that, you know, that's not really my end. So, again, you use the pay-per-view thing at your risk, you know, at your own risk. I think that, you know, there's got to be some kind of implied thing there where, you know, use your best judgment. If you think you don't have, if your computer is not at least from, I would say, you know, I don't know. There's some people out there that are running Macs that are 10 years old and they're having no problems with them. But PCs, well, I don't know. I'd say if you're running a computer at least 2001 or 2002 or newer, even that would be pushing the boundaries a bit, I think. I would say 2005 or newer would probably be suggested for watching the pay-per-view Secret Ride Volume 2. Although, you know, I know people with computers older than that have watched it and had success, but I'm just going to say, you know, watch it at your own risk there, but you can always get a Blu-ray or a DVD and watch it as many times as you want to at your house, and they're on sale right now, so definitely go there and get them. We have to pay the stream bill tomorrow as well, so please donate at the website, thegovereality.com. Chip and Ben are there for that, so please help us. We got to pay. You have to always have bills at the first of the month and the middle of the month, so that's when we need your donations and support, so please go there and do that. I can't wait till we get these discs in so I can start sending them out to you guys and we can start sending them out to different places. I'm ready to start doing interviews, you know, going on some other different shows. I love doing that. I love going on and being a guest. And I've been pretty lucky. I've only had one kind of bad experience ever going on a show. And other than that, I've had pretty good experiences. And it's crazy. Every time I go on a show, whatever show I go on, they always end up having record numbers that night. Isn't that crazy? And that's why people like having me on as guests, because it's like, it's a guarantee. If you have me on, not only for people that like me and are into my info, but people that hate me and want to hear what I'm going to say, they're also one of the biggest demographics that tunes in. They, you know, they want to hear what the hell's this, you know, this guy going to say. This time it's going to piss me off that I can go on a chat room or a message board and piss about and moan about and whatever. But yep, it's doing that weird wonky thing again. Hold on a second. Had to do the old unplug and plug back in. There we go. Now we're sounding good again. All right. Yep. Hey, but I believe the Mercury retrograde comes to an end today. I believe that's going down. I think today's the last day of that. So thank goodness for that. Get the fuck out of here, Mercury retrograde. You fucked enough shit up this time for sure. Take your ass on down the road somewhere. Man, oh man, oh man. But yeah, anyway, yeah, we got to pay the stream bill tomorrow. So please donate if you can at the website. And we have a chipping banner. We have a donate button there. Lots of good suggestions lately on different stuff for the website and changing the website and marketing. Good suggestions. We had some more good suggestions for the website stuff. Man Hydra, if you're listening, I forwarded you an email from Scott. Those are some suggestions. And I liked those suggestions. But like I said, I don't know how to implement some of those things. We had somebody redesign our website, I think back, 2010, something like that. And it was way terrible before. And this is a newer redesign. And I actually like this. Scott was suggesting I, you know, redo the website again. So, you know, I mean, if somebody out there wants to, you know, take on those responsibilities and do that and create a badass looking website for the Global Reality, please, by all means, do it and send us the code. But, you know, that's just something that I kind of don't really pay much attention to or really worry about, because in the grand scope of all the other stuff I have to do, I don't have time to worry about the website and what it looks like and, you know, changing it around and all that stuff. In fact, it's the only reason it got upgraded and changed last time is because somebody stepped up to the plate, a listener, and it said, you know, I'll design this thing in exchange for, you know, having my link at the bottom of the page or whatever. And I said, sure, yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, you know, again, Scott, with all these, I mean, that's kind of the state it's been. I've had people who have stepped up to the plate and volunteered their services to do things, and a lot of the stuff that people have stepped up with has been good work. I mean, Manhydra just does a super job keeping the website updated and the archives up there and all that stuff, and he hosts the archives for us on his own server, which is rad of him to do. You should all thank him for that, for sure. We've got Illuminate Scam in the UK, who uploads shows daily to his YouTube channel, has a lot of viewers, and picked up a lot of listeners through that. So that's another person that stepped up there. Who else? Scott, of course, who's helped us out with some funds towards equipment for capital costs for these films. But that's, you know, that's kind of what that end of that's going to take with, like we were talking about the other night, with advertisers and getting advertising and sponsors and stuff for the network, and also, you know, doing stuff for the website and changing it around and having new redesigns, all that stuff. That's going to be stuff that I'm going to need people who want to volunteer their time and their work. So what I'm trying to do here, that's what I'm going to need those type of people to step up and do. Because I'm trying to worry about doing the radio show, doing the films, you know, getting by every month and paying, make sure the bills are paid, and staying on top of my research, keeping my, what I'm doing pushed forward and keep going forward with it, and get this movie out and promoted and get it out into as many people's hands as I possibly can. and get it on YouTube. I mean, get it on iTunes and Netflix and all that stuff. And then, you know, have a little break and let's jump in on the next one, because I'm ready to do the next film, because I'm ready to do the one after that too. And now that I got this Mac and now I've got this thing down, I mean, I just, you know, one of the things that's going to be on my list of, you know, things that I'm going to need soon is I've got to have, you know, another $300 to get, because I never got a fully licensed copy of Final Cut Pro. So it crashes a lot, but it works great. I mean, when it works, I had a lot of bugs. It lost me a week of work when I was working on the film because of Apple's incompetence in their software creation these days. But when it works beautifully, and I've got it down, and I, you know, there was just no learning curve for me jumping over from the PC to the Mac at all. But when it works, man, it really has improved my productivity. I mean, you guys, I had the first hour or so of the movie minus minus pretty much all, not all, but pretty, I had the general concept for it. I hadn't inserted them all in, but minus pretty much the special effects and that footage from DC with at the intro with the obelisk and the chemtrail thing. Minus that, I had pretty much the whole of that whole first hour content wise cut and in the can and all that stuff before I got the Mac. So when I got the Mac, I transferred that first hour that I had over to the Mac and recut it and added some stuff in and redid some things. And so I got the Mac in, I think, the middle of October, something like that. So from the middle of October, so, right in the middle of that, to November 22nd, which is the day I had it done, I completed that film. That's pretty fucking badass. I mean, I had spent months and months before that putting the movie together and arranging it in a way that I felt had a nice flow to it, where every part of the film wasn't wasted on, you know, each part of this film, each section of it is important to the other section. All the information is relevant to everything else in the film. I hope you see that, and I think I've made it pretty apparent when you watch it, but everything is definitely has its place there. But I mean, yeah, I got in there as soon as I got that Mac, the productivity just went up. And so that's inspired me so much to see that, you know, I mean, yeah, I had days where I didn't sleep for 2 or 3 days on end. I just rack out for 10 hours after that. But, you know, when I have these challenges and I have, you know, things like that and goals and stuff said, I really do. I work well under that environment. So I've just had this thing where I just don't want to stop. I want to keep pumping stuff out. I want to release another film soon. It's not going to be, there's only going to be a span of maybe, you know, 6 or 7 months between my next film, if that, after this one, because I just want to get on it and keep going. Anyway, I'll try to see if I have any emails for you here tonight. Oh yeah, Sarah, who has sent an email in last night. She said, "What if I took it off for free at all? I think people should pay $5 to watch the movie at all. I know you have other really good reasons for putting it out there almost all for free, but I don't like seeing that. It seems like people are lazy and don't pay for anything. They obviously don't care enough about the information to deserve it for free." And I'd have to agree with you, Sarah. And so, you actually really inspired me when I read that email. As soon as I read her email, I said, you know what? She's right. I went and took down that second 49 minutes off of YouTube. 600 something people got to see it. So, hey, that's fair, I think. But anyway, thanks for that email there, Sarah. And thanks for being the inspiration for me to take that down, because you're absolutely right. Just one of those things where, you know, kind of sometimes you need somebody else to say it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. I should take that down. Fuck them. So thanks for that. Let's see. Somebody asked last night was asking about the WellAware website. I've had all these people ask me about this lately. And then Nick, who we read an email from last night, said that this guy has created multiple videos saying shit like, John Benet Ramsey is both Amy Winehouse and Lady Gaga. Oh, is that the guy that said that? Is that the same guy that says Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, and that Russell Pine, aka Jordanius Maximus, Jordan Maxwell, is really Bill Cooper with a nose job? I mean, come on, really? Yeah, that sounds like high faggotry right there. Yeah. No, not going to be something I endorse. That's none of that even makes any sense. But that, it, to me, it sounds like, you know, the kind of stuff where, well, you're always going to have people that attempt to poison the well. You know, they come in with this ridiculous stuff that sounds somewhat plausible, because that's how a lot of the real truth is. It sounds ridiculous yet somewhat plausible, and you look it up and you're like, holy fuck, that's true. I can't believe that's actually true. So that's what they do. They just create this crazy kooky shit so that when someone hears some real information that sounds like crazy kooky shit, but it's actually real, they lump that in the same category in their mind with, you know, Lady Gaga and Amy Winehouse and JonBenet Ramsey are the same person, even though they did find JonBenet Ramsey's corpse, and there are pictures of it on the internet. I don't know how they explain that. I guess they missed the JonBenet Ramsey autopsy photos when they were putting together that theory about Winehouse and Lady Gaga being JonBenet Ramsey simultaneously. That's rich. Boy, I'd just love to hear the explanation. That sounds right up there with Richard Hoaxland and his I can prove that Barack Obama is the Messiah with good Freemasons working behind him in secret. And I can prove it using, physics. Ridiculous. Anyway, I don't guess that's, I guess we have any more emails there tonight, but you can always send in emails to me anytime, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And that's where you send them over there. Let's see what we have in the old news bucket tonight. Hundreds of NASA moon rocks missing. This story came out on December 8th, but I had it in my stack and just kept skipping it every night I was doing shows. I found it in my stack, and I was like, damn, that was from like a couple weeks ago. I should cover that. Researchers have sticky fingers when it comes to this is interesting because, see, I think now people are analysis has gotten so much better than it was in the 1970s, 1980s. I think people are now taking some of these moon rocks and have examined them and figured out they're fucking, painted concrete or some shit, some prop made in a Hollywood studio or something. And that would, to me, I think that's probably why they're disappearing, is because people are now, let's analyze these more again. We can analyze these moon rocks a lot better than we could in the 1960s and 70s and 80s and 90s because we have better technology now. When they start analyzing, oh, this is fucking styrofoam, dude. This shit came from the moon? Really? I mean, I just, I don't know. I don't know any other reason other than, I don't know. Maybe it's fucking unobtainium or some shit like in Avatar. Researchers have sticky fingers when it comes to NASA's moon rocks and meteorites, and hundreds of samples have gone missing after being loaned out by the U.S. Space Agency, an audit said Thursday. NASA Inspector General Paul Martin issued a report detailing foibles such as the U.S. Space Agency's making loans to researchers who never used the samples or simply lost track of rare pieces dating back to the first trip to the moon by the U.S. in 1969. According to NASA records, 517 load astro materials have been lost or stolen between 1970 and June 2010. Astro materials include moon rocks and soil, meteorites from asteroids, Mars and the moon, ions from the outer layers of the sun, dust from comets in interstellar space, and cosmic dust from the Earth's stratosphere. These samples constitute a rare and limited resource and serve an important role of research and education. Specifically, we found that NASA records were inaccurate and that researchers could not account for all the samples loaned to them and held samples for extended periods without performing research or returning the samples to NASA. Right. Well, they're keeping them because they want, and now people are going to find out, wait, these are just fucking metal shavings. You said this shit came from the moon? Come on. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I just want to cover that one. This one I saw, it's another one that came out a couple weeks ago. I found a few news items tonight. There's only a couple like this, but there's stuff that I was like, man, I've got to cover that. And I just happened to skip on the subsequent shows. But this to me just sounds like another sell point by the intelligentsia for the transhumanist thing. I heard NPR one day and they were talking about, transhumanism straight up, going off on it for like 30 minutes. And I didn't hear once in this 30 minute conversation about transhumanism anything negative about it. I mean, that tells you right there, Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation for the Arts, who fund NPR and all this stuff. That tells you right there they're funding the transhumanist agenda, or at least the propaganda campaign surrounding it. Human brain is limiting global data growth, say computer scientists. Evidence has emerged that the brain's capacity to absorb information is limiting the amount of data humanity can produce. So here we go. Our brains are inferior, They can only produce so much data, and then there's a window. But hey, if we merge with machines, and we do away with this carbon-based bullshit, we can increase our productivity and global data growth because we can produce more data. I think humans produce plenty of data right now. I don't know about you. Fuck. Do we need more data? Is that really the solution? In the early 19th century, the German physiologist Ernest Weber gave a blindfolded man a mass to hold and gradually increased its weight, asking the subject to indicate whether or when he first became aware of the change. Weber discovered that the smallest increase in weight a human can perceive is proportional to its initial mass. This is now known as the Weber-Fechner law and shows that the relationship between the stimulus and perception is logarithmic. It's straightforward to apply this rule to modern media. Take images, for example. An increase in resolution of a low-resolution picture is more easily perceived than the same increase to a higher-resolution picture. When two perimeters are involved, the relationship between the stimuli and the perception is the square of the algorithm. An example would be video, in which images change with time. The way of thinking about stimulus and perception clearly indicates that the Weber-Fechner law ought to have a profound effect on the rate at which we absorb information. Today, Claudius Gross and a couple of pals at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany, looked for signs of the Weber-Fechner law and the size distribution of files on the internet, and they say they found them. These guys measured the type and size of files, pointed to every outward link from Wikipedia and the Open Directory project. A lot of it, that's a total of more than 600 million files. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read all this. It's a bunch of bullshit. But anyway, yeah, so our brains are limiting how much data humanity can produce. So, you know, again, what's the answer? Merge with machines, right? That's our fucking answer for everything. Did you guys hear about the chick that got caught making meth in Walmart in Tulsa? Well, that's style, isn't it? What was funny to me about the whole article is it said that they got suspicious after noticing that she had been in the store for 6 hours. She's in there for 6 hours. It took her six. You guys knew she was there for 6 hours, and that's what made you suspicious. I mean, nobody smelled that shit. I mean, dude, if you're cooking fucking methamphetamine, that shit stinks, dude. I've been in neighborhoods and places where, you know, somebody in the vicinity in a couple of blocks is cooking that shit. You could smell it because it smells like formaldehyde or some shit. It's just, ugh. But, I mean, you know, if somebody was doing that inside a store like Walmart for 6 hours, you know, I mean, come on. Somebody was, some of those employees, I think, were in on it. Nobody, you know, it was only this lady got caught doing it. But you're going to tell me that it was there, she was there cooking this stuff? I mean, you got to use, like, sulfuric acid and all these chemicals and stuff to even do that. And nobody smelled this. Nobody saw her with an open flame cooking chemicals in Walmart for 6 hours. Somebody, she must have been giving the manager, manager must have been a tweaker. I mean, Walmart, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. I'd say the manager, most likely 90% chance he's a tweaker. I've been up there, those parts, and there are a lot of tweakers up there. Man, this shit right here, I saw this. This is straight out of fucking Big Lebowski. Larry Sellers, fucking snot-nosed kid, flunking social studies. Remember that shit in fucking Big Lebowski where they find the kid's homework in the car, and so that's how they think that he stole their briefcase with the money in it and stuff, so they go over to this kid's house. You know what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Larry? this really happened. A 12-year-old upstate New York boy may be wishing that his dog ate his homework. Police in the Village of Liberty tell the Times Herald Record of Middletown that officers used math homework to track down a boy suspected of breaking into an auction house Saturday night. The owner said he arrived Sunday morning and discovered that a window had been removed and jewelry, cell phones, video games, and other items had been stolen from his business. Police say homework with a suspect's name on it was found in the woods behind the auction house. Oh, well, that's fucked up. It was just in the woods. Shit, if they would have found it right there in the middle of the storage unit, yeah, but I don't know, man. When I was a kid, I used to take every opportunity when I was out of school to run through the fucking woods and strow my papers out of my backpack every fucking where. Fuck it. Fuck school. Just dump that shit, you know? See shit blowing everywhere. I mean, probably fucking everybody does that. He could have gotten there anyway. I mean, I don't know. I hope they got some harder evidence against his, I mean, if he's just a kid, you know? Could hackers develop a computer virus to infect the mind? This is from the Daily Mail. The field of synthetic biology is in its infancy. We can tweak the genetics of life forms, but billionaire entrepreneur Craig Venter only created artificial life for the first time last year, christening his life form Cynthia. But experts working within the field believe that our expertise is out accelerating natural evolution by a factor of millions of years. And some warn that synthetic biology could spin out of control. It could lead, says Andrew Hessel of Singularity University. Yeah, see, there we go. Yeah. Kurzweil U. On NASA's research campus to a world where hackers could engineer viruses or bacteria to control human minds. Oh, geez, great. Well, that tells you right now this is already happening. We're probably already under the control of this right now. Anything they tell us about, they've had it for 10 or 11 years, at least when we start hearing about it. Boy, this party already been going on forever. It's old tech if they were hearing about it now. You know, that's all it always is. This is one of the most powerful technologies in the world, says Hessel. Synthetic biology, the writing of life. I advocate that cells are living computers and DNA is a programming language. I want to see life programmed and used to solve global challenges so that humanity can achieve a sustainable relationship within the biosphere. This is eugenics. This is straight up out of the eugenics foundations, folks. My God. I want to see life programmed and used to solve global challenges so that humanity can achieve a sustainable relationship within the biosphere. They're talking about engineering the perfect race, engineering the master race, engineering perfect humans, engineering humans that are less wasteful to the environment. This is coming. This is coming fast. And I believe we are going to see in our lifetimes, ladies and gentlemen, that we're all going to have to come to that decision. Do we want to go forward into the future and merge with these machines and do all this stuff, or do we want to stay behind in the past and be outsiders and outcasts and against that? I've been an outsider and outcast my whole life, and I don't think merging with a machine would change that. So with that being said, I'm just going to stay the way I am, and, you know, if we have to fight the machines Terminator style, if that ends up what ends up going down, fuck it. We'll do that too. But it's a Trojan horse, man. Plain and simple. I believe that this technology and a lot of our technologies is a Trojan horse. These guys admit to channeling entities, ladies and gentlemen, the people at the highest levels. You got people in the UN that are channeling entities regularly. They have a theosophical meditation room for channeling entities inside the United Nations in New York, folks. That's a fact. We don't know who these people are and who they are that they're talking to. That's one of the things you've got to be very careful with when you're channeling entities and stuff. I know people that do that a lot and channel entities and stuff. And you got to be careful because you never know what it is or who it is exactly it is that you're channeling with or talking to, communicating with. And a lot of these entities are tricksters. They're liars. They'll lead you along and tell you anything and everything under the sun and make you believe and give you proof and stuff where, you know, it verifies it for you. But little do you know, you're doing the bidding of whatever this thing is. And I think that this transhumanist technology, I think that this is a Trojan horse from some other dimensional entities who are existing in the quote-unquote spirit world or the spiritual realms of reality whose vibrations are at a higher rate than we are able to perceive with our three-dimensional systems. And I think they want in our world. And I think that CERN, and I think that this, the transhumanist stuff, I think this is that, that we have found out about this stuff. We've gotten these ideologies. The proof is there when you look at it, the people that are involved in this stuff, man. It's always Jews like Kurzweil and people like this who, you know, most likely are proponents of ancient Kabbalistic teachings. I'm not talking about this, you know, Madonna and Demi Moore Kabbalism where you drink the special Kabbalah water and have the red bracelet wristband. That's not the same thing. But we have to be very careful that we're not building some Trojan horse for either some worldwide computer system that wants to take over anything or some entity for in some other dimensions that wants to take over everything. They, scientists have gone on the record, a lot of these scientists who try to recreate humans, a lot of stuff like they're talking about here in this article. And they said that they can recreate humans 100% right down to the letter. But what they cannot figure out, what eludes them, is they cannot figure out how to make this created human be animated and have a soul and have a life force and have an energy. They cannot figure out how that happens. And you know, I wonder, and sometimes are kind of very skeptical because of the fact of what of how much I've seen that these people, their quest for the ancient antiquities, their quest for the ancient tablets. I mean, we just don't know that these people aren't communicating with some sort of entity that doesn't have a physical body to exist in this realm. But then, hey, boom, here we come. We build these transhumanist bodies, and boom, here comes these entities or these demons or whatever they may be that are disembodied, that don't have bodies. Boom, we end up building bodies for them under the guise of transhumanism or, you know, the expansion of computer and robot technology. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard from, you know, friends of friends and people. I mean, I've probably heard from 20 or 30 different people who've been in the military who've all said that at some point or another in their military career, they talked to somebody or knew somebody who knew somebody who worked at the top levels. And I've just heard so many reports, multiple people that have said that beyond any shadow of a doubt, our microprocessor technology, silicone transistor technology, all that stuff came as a result of back-engineered technology from extraterrestrial craft. And so it makes you wonder what else they've got, what else they're looking to do. But this idea of programming life, I mean, this is straight out of the eugenics handbook, ladies and gentlemen. There's just no question. We predict a world where we can print DNA and even decode it. But he warned in a speech at a technology conference that viruses and bacteria send chemicals into human brains and can be used to influence or even control the host. A literal virus injected into a host in the guise of a vaccine could be used to control behavior. Oh, God. They're probably already doing, I mean, my God, they're already putting live cancer viruses and everything else in the flu shots. I remember right about 6 months before my dad got cancer back in 2007. And my dad went and got a flu shot. Me and my sister Jamie were just fucking hopping mad. Because we had told him before that, don't go get a flu shot, man. You're a smoker, you know, you drink alcohol, you're at high risk. They put the live cancer virus inside of the flu shot. It's a proven fact. And he got that flu shot, and I told my sister Jamie, I said, you know, he'll have cancer in 6 months, you watch. And he sure as fuck did. So this idea of putting viruses in under the guise of vaccine. My God. I mean, that opens up implications for everything. Why do you, okay. So you can control behavior. Now, I guess we understand why they make you have mandatory vaccines for your children in schools, don't they? What if this virus that activates in your brain is the cause of autism? What if that's the cause of ADD? All these things that they make trillions of dollars on prescribing, the schools, the teachers get kickbacks. They find the creative kids. They find the kids that won't conform. They find the right brain thinking kids. And what do? They give a suggestion for them to be put on these drugs. But you're a fool to think that this is something that's not already happening, folks, if they're telling us about it. They don't tell us about things they're going to do. They tell us about things they've already done. That's a fact. Let me say that for you one more again. Get a pen and write this down. They don't tell us about things that they're going to do. They only tell us about things they already have done. You can quote me on that one. Supercomputer runs biggest ever simulation of universe. Building the lot took 20 days. The Tachyon 2 supercomputer has 157,392 gigabytes of disk space. It analyzed 374 billion simulated particles and took 20 days to complete. The largest ever simulation of the universe has been run by the 26th most powerful computer in the world. The purpose of the study called Horizon Run 3 was to run the birth and evolution of the universe to see if it ends up with the same properties as the one we see around us, including galactic clusters and superclusters. By studying this virtual version, astronomers are better able to predict how the universe will change over time. They also are able to study in detail structures that are too old or distant to see with telescopes and matter that only exists in theory, such as acoustic baryon oscillation. These huge clumps of frozen dark energy left over from the birth of the universe, astronomer Dr. Heather Cooper believes the project is extremely worthwhile. It's thanks to supercomputers such as the Tachyon that our, it's called the Tachyon 2. Wasn't that Tachyon energy? Wasn't that like something in Star Wars or Star Trek or something like that? Tachyon thrusters, Captain! That our understanding of the universe is growing at unprecedented rates, so, supercomputer speeds are going up. They're building more and more of these. CERN is firing up. I mean, it does seem as if they're on a very, very strict time schedule to find something out about the universe there's just way too much coverage, way too many stories of this, and way too many alleged new things being found every single day for them not to be on some sort of time scale that in their search for something. Japan megaquake shifted gravity satellite orbits. The Tohoku earthquake that rattled Japan on the March 11th changed Earth's gravitational field enough to affect the orbit of satellites. The satellites' altered courses suggested that the earthquake was stronger and deeper than instruments on Earth indicated. These weren't just any satellites. These are the twin spacecraft of the Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment, which fly 220 kilometers apart in a polar orbit about 500 kilometers above Earth. GRACE's job is to map out the Earth's gravity field, and it does this by monitoring the effects of minute variations in the field of the trajectories of the satellites and the changing distances between them. Earth's gravity field changes whenever there is redistribution of mass on its surface. This may be the result of snowfall, flood, melting ice caps, or earthquakes. That perturbed gravitational field affects the satellite orbits. And is that earthquake the result of, well, many people believe Earth's losing its gravitational field. Or that the gravitational field is being affected by the poles flipping. Remember, that was supposed to happen in 2012, and, you know, here we go. We see a lot more evidence of it. every day. Well, who knows? Saddam Hussein's dinnerware discovered at New York City restaurant. Well, they've got Hitler's dinnerware at the Tomb, Skull and Bones in Yale. By the way, I was telling one of our listeners in the chat today, Lurkin Granny, I was telling her about, I said, hey, you know what Bush's nickname at Skull and Bones was? Gums. Came across that in my research when I was, I didn't make it in the film, but yeah, supposedly Bush Jr., W., supposedly they called him Gums Bush. Because apparently he could just strip the fucking chrome off a trailer hitch from across the street. Apparently, Bush Jr. is known as quite the cocksucker. Literally, I'm not kidding you. I mean, this was multiple sources I was reading this about saying that that's his nickname, and he was known for his blowjob giving skills at Yale. Like they just passed him around. That's probably why they made him president, so he could just go to all these other countries. He was, you know. He's known for his blowjob giving skills. He just goes in and blows the Ayatollah. I mean, shit, you know, you saw him down there holding hands, walking around with his fucking Sauds. Hey, I'm gonna suck your dick. I'm W.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you're asking only an elected president myself in Satan's cock, Bush. You do what the best comes. Yeah, get down there.
That's just out of control. Tech elites say U.S. online piracy bill mirrors Chinese and Iranian policies. An assembly of U.S. internet elites, captains of the most successful online businesses, published an open letter to Congress on Wednesday, urging lawmakers to think long and hard before adapting bills that would force wide-reaching changes to the structure of the web. The letter, which will run in as an advertisement in the pages of America's most influential newspapers, comes just one day before a key House committee vote on revised visions of the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA. Most critics say the bill would create an internet blacklist that forces ISPs, search engines, financial firms, and advisors to delist websites accused of copyright infringement, all without any actual court hearing or oversight. Which is bad enough, but the letter's authors took their criticism to another level entirely. In their attack on SOPA and the Senate version of the bill, known as the Protect IP Act, the tech leaders claimed the proposals would put U.S. tech policies on par with China, Malaysia, and Iran. We urge Congress to think hard before changing the regulation that underpins the internet, they wrote. Let's not deny the next generation of entrepreneurs and founders the same opportunities that we all had. Well, that's, yeah. The letter is signed by Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google, David Filo, co-founder of Yahoo, Elon Musk, co-founder of PayPal, my God. Craig Newmark, founder of Craigslist, of course, Biz Stone, co-founder of Twitter, Ariana Huffington, co-founder of the Huffington Post, and Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia. Look, see, this is what's such horseshit about this, is that They're trying to make it seem like these people, you know, the guy from Wikipedia, the guy from Google, the guy from PayPal, the guy from Craigslist, the guy from Twitter, the Ariana Huffington. As usual, they're trying to act like they oppose this. But folks, only a fool, you'd have to be blind not to see that this Protect IP Act is the best thing that can happen for these companies. Because what's going to happen, it's going to ensure that a PayPal competitor can't pop up anymore. If somebody can do it better than PayPal, well, boom, that can't pop up because all PayPal has to say, oh, you're infringing on our copyright. We've had this first, so that it's ours now. Same thing, Craigslist, anything else, Huffington Post, News, Wikipedia. So this is bullshit. They're trying to act like they're against this, folks, and I guarantee you, if this doesn't get fought, it's going to pass. And you're going to have monopolies on the entire web. This is exactly what they want. So again, we've got, you know, the actual perpetrators posing as the saviors. And well, that just seems to be the common theme with anything now. I mean, most of the people that claim that they're against this stuff are actually, when you do the research, you know, aiding and abetting the things they claim to be against. I mean, by definition, that is controlled opposition, right? I thought so. You know, we're not allowed to film police, but this kind of stuff goes on, and people wonder why we want to. A surveillance video showing a police officer tasing a 14-year-old girl in the groin has been released as part of a lawsuit she has filed against the officer in the city. Keshawna Wilson from Allentown, Pennsylvania, was tasered by the police officer on September 29th outside DeRuff High School as she was walking with a group of friends. Though 100 seconds is missing from the video, according to the lawsuit, it captures the final encounter between Ms. Wilson and Officer Jason Amory, but not what preempted it. The officer claims that the girl resisted arrest and elbowed him in the chin. The lawsuit claims he grabbed her from behind without identifying himself and shoved her in the car. The 14-year-old is seen walking towards the car before it abruptly cuts to her being slammed against the side of it by the officer. Oh, yeah, the officer conveniently cut that part out, huh? A struggle ensues before the officer steps back and fires his taser at her groin, causing her to collapse in agony to the ground. According to the lawsuit, the police report claims Amory aimed his weapon lower because Wilson was using her backpack to block the taser. Well, yeah, what do you think? But in the video, Mrs. Wilson's upper body is clearly exposed, so the cop's a liar. Yeah, what's new there? In the video, Ms. Wilson appears to raise her arm for about a second before he shoots at her. Attorney Richard J. Orzlowski, who filed the lawsuit at U.S. District Court on behalf of Victoria Geist, the mother of the 14-year-old girl in the video, says that Amory used excessive force when he fired the taser directly at the teen's groin. That's pretty gratuitous. I mean, not to get graphic, but, you know, teenagers, their hormones are going crazy. Those parts are sensitive. This guy knows that. That's why he fired a fucking taser at him. I mean, you can just tell by the look on this guy's face, he's a scumbag. Oh, man. You guys hear Blackwater change their name again? Yet again, they changed their name, Academi, I guess, or Academy. I just say Academi because it just, you know, it just looks, yet again, another Roman-sounding name. Academy, A-C-A-D-M-I. New York-based USTC Holdings, the investment group that bought ex-Blackwater firm Z Services in December 2010, announced on Monday Academy as the new name for Blackwater Z Services. The development came as U.S. President Barack Obama met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to discuss the next phase of relations between the two countries and the withdrawal of U.S. soldiers. So we're taking, yeah, the U.S. soldiers are going out because they're going to go to, you know, Iran and Venezuela and wherever, the United States, wherever else. And boy, we're sitting on the mercenaries now to make sure everything's okay. But because they have a different name, you know, we'll just keep changing the name so nobody knows it's still fucking Blackwater. Yeah, nice try. And that right there is my threshold. That about does it. That's all I got for you on the news tonight. That is it. Can't do no more. But we're going to get into the Kabbalion for you here tonight. Chapter 6. Chapter number 6. We're going to be jumping in to that. I got to take a break. And after I come back from the break, we're going to jump into this Kabbalion for you here tonight. Don't forget, please support our work, vglobalreality.com. We don't have commercials. We make you sit through great tunes here. We don't make you sit through Dick Peel ads and Jew Gold sponsors and all this stuff. Yeah, man, please go to vglobalreality.com. We have to pay the stream bill tomorrow, so please go make a donation for us today so we can get that handled. And we continue on doing what we do here, which is trying to get the word out and continue to bring new information to the table. My name is Josh Reeves. This is The Global Reality. Stay with us.
Electrolysis, the bottomless, unlimited, boundless, endless, the unmanifested and illiterable, imponderable, indistinguishable, imperceivable, at least comprehensible to mortal comprehension, created and designed, limitless within the instantaneous creation, out of triple stages of darkness, the undifferentiated emanation, beyond the experience of what human beings perceive as the five senses. I am what exists is on the other side of the periodical table of elements, existing as etherical duplicates, etherically spiraling within my double helix. It will take you blasphemous MCs, 1 millionth of a billionth of a team of neurologists that analyze the speed and velocity. We escape through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation, and trapped in the deep sleep, we seek the afterlife, which is eternal life through a dream sequence, and then we escape again through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation, and trapped in the deep sleep, we seek the afterlife.
The universe dispersed my particles at 33 nautical knots per hour. A solar powered yacht in a sun shower empowered the yang and the yin to begin to spin and form a double tetrahedron. I seen a sphinx breathing, standing next to heathens, devoured by seething locusts, ejected from the zenith. The body parts of God, Mother Earth received a penis, like Zeus to Venus, Osiris to Isis. One wire, two polarities, you couldn't splice this. Original right knowledge, try to rewrite this. You're forced to speak in tongues, farming away your heritage from. Begin to absorb anything above and under the sun, no other than one vanishing point, the all ill kaloom. Who tried to transform the title when they raided the tomb, invaded the room, spaded new the chosen children, they created a doom for otherwise immortal soldiers, PG raided the moon.
We escape through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation, and trapped in a deep sleep, we seek the afterlife, which is eternal life through a dream sequence, and then we escape again through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation, and trapped in a deep sleep, we seek the afterlife.
As life began with one thing in mind, to be, and with this thought a thing became a name, impregnated and segregated by the will of who, the creative force, the source, the first, the nurse who gave rule of this side of the universe, the ray, making him the highest of sin. Thus things began to descend, as cells and atoms split by the command of the unseen hand, the ray, who anointed and appointed Panum, the fashioner of the clay, and Tamare, who was the original vibration and creation of pulsation, accompanied by ray with Haika and Say, and Tar, the tongue. Who brung the word to be heard as a verb, which occurred as Nunet and Nun, the chaotic waters who gave birth to Atum, later called the creator of this day. Atum was a part of a triad of array, Atun, Atum, and Amun, three geneticists from Riz edifice. Atum presumed as the father of the sacred nine. In time, they became names explained as water, wind, earth, and sky, symbolically the most high. Shu Tefnut was the first birth of Atum. Shu was the wind that began to blow. The second was Tefnut Moisture, the voice of the body. Shu and Tefnut gave birth to their first son, Geb, called the Earth, who was alone on his throne, so he began to search. So Shu and Tefnut gave birth to Nut, symbolically the sky, the seven heavens that his so-called angels occupy. Re was symbolically the eye of the sky. Within an effort, Shu and Tefnut gave birth to Usir, Aset, Nethut, and Setuk. So Setuk killed his brother Usir out of fear and jealousy and fertility. Setuk was the god of the light, jealous of his brother, because Usir was the god of the night, so they had a fight. Set cut Osiris' body up into 14 parts. They placed him in a sarcophagus down by the city of Heliopolis. Put his penis in a river found by the deity Sebek. He the sacred scrolls of Kemet. Aset looked for her loving husband. She obtained his parts, just a heart and a dozen. Her and Nethut, her sister, went to look for the penis of his mister. They erected his physical cot, only performing the opening of the mouth ceremony. It was written on papyrus. They obtained the sperm of Osiris, who is now on earth, called the highest and the wisest. We learn how the sperm was placed in the womb, as set to give birth to a son. Osiris facets they used and abused. They named him Heru, while yet in the fatal, calling him Horus, who grew up and had a fight with his uncle in the forest. Set lost and was forced to give rule, and this is how it was recorded in the Tamarayan epistles, the crystal city visitors from Riz perimeters.
Escapism and sin.
and sit within meditation and trap in your deep sleep. Receive the afterlife, which is eternal life.
Uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, it's Dream Spiral by the Lost Children of Babylon. Yeah, so somebody asked what song that was. There you go. Thanks for joining us here for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. We've got more for you here in this segment of the broadcast. We're going to be getting into our continuing series of reading of the Kabbalion for you, and we'll be starting on chapter number 6. And that chapter is entitled The Divine Paradox. Again, my website, theglobalreality.com, the Z-Rite Volume 2, my newest documentary film, which exposes the Z-Rite, the CMP, the John Birch Society, psychological operations that are ongoing involving these same players in the right wing and their disinfo campaign, CIA operatives, Kennedy assassination we get into, Robert Kennedy's assassination we get into a little bit. That stuff there, little small bits about the Tea Party. And we get into Johnny Gosch, Jeff Gannon, the whole sex slave trade. And also we get into Alex Jones and Ron Paul a little bit. We get into Ron Paul a little bit at the end. And we also get into talk a little bit briefly about Congressman Ralph Hall and the ancient rock wall in Rockwall, Texas, which is going to be my next film. So it's almost 3 hours long. It's up there on pay-per-view right now on my website, theglobalreality.com. You can go there and watch it. $5. You get 3 tries to watch it. So if something messes up, people are saying they're trying to pause and miss. If you do anything trying to mess with the screen at all other than what it is, when you bring, you can like make it full screen, but if you do anything with it past that, try to fast forward it or anything like that, it's going to void your play. I don't make the rules. I don't make it that do that way. But this was, I tried. I spent like almost a week, about 4 or 5 days, just working on getting a pay per view thing going. And believe me, I tried every option and looked at everything and every service there was, and that was the best and cheapest and most effective way to do it. Even though it's not successful for everybody, but you can get a DVD and a Blu-ray there. And, yeah, you know, like I said last night, we had over 2,000 people, you know, watch it the first hour for free, and we've had something like, I don't know, I think total counting pre-orders, I think we've had, I don't know, about 30 or 40, orders. And we sure could use more than that, but we have to pay the stream bill tomorrow, so definitely go there to theglobalreality.com and make a donation if you can. And it's getting around the holidays time, and if anybody out there would like to make a larger donation for the holidays for us, for the Global Reality as a holiday gift, so we can push it forward here in 2012, that'd be appreciated too. Whatever you want to do there at the website with the Chivin banner and the donate button. Chapter 6, The Divine Paradox, The Kabbalion. This is the paradox of the universe, resulting from the principle of polarity which manifests when the all begins to create. Hearken to it, for it points the difference between the half wisdom and wisdom. While to the infinite all, the universe, its laws, its powers, its life, its phenomenon, are as things witnessed in the state of meditation or dream, yet to all that is finite, the universe must be treated as real, and life, and action, and thought, and must be based thereupon accordingly, although with an ever understanding of the higher truth. Each according to its own plane and laws, Were they all to imagine that the universe were indeed reality, then woe to the universe. For there would be then no escape from lower to higher. Divine were then would the universe become a fixity, and progress would become impossible. And if man, owing to half wisdom, acts and lives and thinks of the universe as merely a dream, akin to his own finite dreams, then indeed it does make it so. It does it so become. Sometimes this stuff just is just written and printed in strange words. Then indeed it does it. So, then indeed does it so become for him? That just sounds weird. Then indeed does it so become for him. I don't know what that means, but there you go. And like a sleepwalker, he stumbles ever around and around in a circle, making no progress and being forced into an awakening at last by his falling bruised and bleeding over the natural laws which he ignored. Keep your mind ever on the star, but let your eyes watch over your footsteps, lest you fall into the mire by reason and your upward gaze. Remember the divine paradox that while the universe is not, still it is. Remember ever the two poles of truth, the absolute and the relative. Beware of half-truths. What Hermeticists know as the law of paradox is an aspect of the principle of polarity. The Hermetic writings are filled with references to the appearance of the paradox and the consideration of the problems of life and being. The teachers are constantly warning their students against the error of omitting the other side of any question, and their warnings are particularly directed to the problems of the absolute and the relative, which perplex all students of philosophy and which cause so many to think and act contrary to what is generally known as common sense. And we caution all students to be sure to grasp the divine paradox of the absolute and relative, lest they become entangled in the mire of the half-truth. With this in view, this particular lesson has been written. Read it carefully. I will do that. As best I can with you, I mean, well, okay, you want to tell me to read it carefully, I'll try, but can you at least use the English language properly? I mean, you got to have a little give back here. I mean, I'll read this carefully, but my God, I hope you use the English language better than you have before. And the remainder of this book. The first thought that comes to the thinking man after he realizes the truth that the universe is a mental creation of the all is that the universe and all that it contains is a mere illusion, an unreality against which idea his instincts revolt. But this, like all other great truths, must be considered both from the absolute and the relative points of view. From the absolute viewpoint, of course, the universe is in the nature of an illusion, a dream, a phantasmagoria, as compared to the all itself. We recognize this even in our ordinary view, for we speak of the world as a fleeting show that comes and goes, is born and dies. For the element of impermanence and change, finiteness and insubstantiality, must ever be connected with the idea of a created universe when it is contrasted with the idea of the all. No matter what may be our beliefs concerning the nature of both. Philosopher, metaphysician, scientist, and theologian all agree upon this idea. And the thought is found in all forms of philosophical thought and religious conceptions, as well as in the theories of the respective schools of metaphysics and theology. So the Hermetic teachings do not preach the unsubstantiality of the universe in any stronger terms than those more familiar to you, although their presentation of the subject may seem somewhat more startling. Anything that has a beginning and an ending must be, in a sense, unreal and untrue. And the universe comes under the rule in all schools of thought. From the absolute point of view, there is nothing real except the all, no matter what terms we may use in thinking of or discussing the subject. Whether the universe be created of matter, whether it be a mental creation in the mind of the all, is unsubstantial, non-enduring, a thing of time, space, and change. We want you to realize this fact thoroughly before you pass judgment on the hermetic conception of the mental nature of the universe. Think over any and all of the other conceptions and see whether or not this be true of them. Well, the absolute point of view shows merely one side of the picture. The other side is the relative one. Absolute truth has been defined as things as the mind of God knows them, while relative truth is things as the highest reason of man understands them. And so while to the all, the universe must be unreal and illusionary, a mere dream or a result of meditation, nevertheless, to the finite minds forming a part of that universe and viewing it through mortal faculties, the universe is very real indeed and must be so considered. In recognizing the absolute view, we must not make the mistake of ignoring or denying the facts and phenomena of the universe as they present themselves to our moral faculties. We are not the all, remember. To take familiar illustrations, we all recognize the fact that matter exists in our senses. We will fare badly if we do not, and yet even our finite minds understand the scientific dictum that there is no such thing as matter from a scientific point of view. That which we call matter is held to be merely an aggregation of atoms, which atoms themselves are merely a grouping of units of force called electrons or ions, vibrating and in constant circular motion. We kick a stone and we feel the impact. It seems to be real, notwithstanding that we know it to be merely what we have stated above. But remember that our foot, which feels the impact by means of our brains, is likewise matter, and so constituted of electrons, and for that matter, so are our brains. And at the best, if it were not by reason of our mind, we would not know the foot or stone at all. Then again, the ideal of the artist or sculptor, which he is endeavoring to reproduce in stone or on canvas, seems very real to him. So do the characters in the mind of the author or dramatist, which he seeks to express so that the others may recognize them. And if this be true in the case of our finite minds, what must be the degree of reality in the mental images created in the mind of the infinite? O friends to the mortals, this universe of mentality is very real indeed. It is the only one we can ever know. Though we rise from plane to plane higher and higher in it, to know it otherwise but actual experience, we must be the all itself. It is true that that the higher we rise, in the nearer to the mind of the Father we reach, the more apparent becomes the illusionary nature of finite things. But not until the all finally withdraws us into itself does the vision actually vanish. So we need not dwell upon the feature of illusion. Rather, let us, recognizing the real nature of the universe, seek to understand its mental laws and endeavor to use them to the best effect in our upward progress through life, as we travel from plane to plane of being. The laws of the universe are nonetheless iron laws because of the mental nature. All except the all are bound by them. What is in the infinite mind of the all is real in a degree second only to that reality itself, which is vested in the nature of the all. So do not feel insecure or afraid. We are all held firmly in the infinite mind of the all. And there is not to hurt us or nothing for us to fear. There is no power outside of the all to affect us, so we may rest calm and secure. There is a world of comfort and security in this realization once attained. Then calm and peaceful do we sleep, rocked in the cradle of the deep, resting safely on the bosom of the ocean of the infinite mind, which is the all. In the all, indeed, do we live and move and have our being. Matter is nonetheless matter to us when we dwell on the plane of matter, although we know it to be merely an aggregation of electrons or particles of force, vibrating rapidly and gyrating around each other and in the formations of atoms, the atoms in turn vibrating and gyrating, forming molecules, which latter in turn form larger masses of matter. Nor does matter become less matter when we follow the inquiry still further and learn from the Hermetic teachings that the force of which the electrons are but units, is merely a manifestation of the mind of the all. And like all else in the universe, is purely mental in its nature. While on the plane of matter, we must recognize its phenomenon. We may control matter, as all masters of higher or lesser degrees do, but we do so by applying the higher forces. We commit a folly when we attempt to deny the existence of matter in the relative aspect. We may deny its mastery over us, and rightly so, but we should not attempt to ignore it in its relative aspect, at least so long as we dwell upon its plane. Nor do the laws of nature become less constant or effective when we know them. Likewise, to be merely mental creations, they are in full effect on the various planes. We overcome the lower laws by applying still higher ones, and in this way only, but we cannot escape law or rise above it entirely. Nothing but the all can escape law, and that is because the all is law itself from which all laws emerge. The most advanced masters may acquire the powers usually attributed to the gods of men, and there are countless ranks of being in the great hierarchy of life whose being and power transcends even that of the highest masters among men to a degree unthinkable by mortals. But even the highest master and the highest being must bow to the law as be and be as nothing in the eye of the all. So that if even these highest beings, whose power exceeds even those attributed by men to their gods, if even these are bound by and are subservient to law, then imagine the presumption of mortal men of our race and grade when he dares to consider the laws of nature as unreal, visionary, and illusionary. Just because he happens to be able to grasp the truth that the laws are mental in nature and simply mental creations of the law. Those laws which the all intends to be governing laws are not to be defiled or argued away. So long as the universe endures, will they endure? For the universe exists by virtue of these laws, which form its framework and which hold it together. The Hermetic principle of mentalism, while explaining the true nature of the universe upon the principle that all is mental, does not change the scientific conceptions of the universe, or life, or evolution. In fact, science merely corroborates the Hermetic teachings. The latter merely teaches that the nature of the universe is mental, while modern science has taught that it is material, or as of late, that it is energy. The Hermetic teachings have no fault to find with Herbert Spencer's basic principle, which postulates the existence of infinite and eternal energy from which all things proceed. In fact, the Hermetics recognize in Spencer's philosophy the highest outside statement of the workings of the natural laws that have ever been promulgated, and they believe Spencer to have been a reincarnation of an ancient philosopher who dwelt in ancient Egypt thousands of years ago and who later incarnated as Heraclitus. Heraclitus? Wow, cool. Yeah, I've been studying Heraclitus a lot. Yeah, that's good stuff. The Grecian philosopher who lived B.C. 500, yeah, they regard his statements of the infinite and eternal energy as directly in the line of the Hermetic teachings, always with the addition of their own doctrine that this energy is the energy of the mind of the all. With the master key of the Hermetic philosophy, the student of Spencer will be able to unlock many doors of the inner philosophical conceptions of the great English philosopher, whose work shows the results of the preparation of his previous incarnations. His teachings regarding evolution and rhythm are in almost perfect agreement with the Hermetic teachings regarding the principle of rhythm. So the student of Hermetics need not lay aside any of his cherished scientific views regarding the universe. All he is asked to do is to grasp the underlying principle of the all is mind, the universe is mental, held in the mind of the all. He will find that the other six of the seven principles will fit into his scientific knowledge and will serve to bring out the obscure points and to throw light in dark corners. This is not to be wondered at when we realize the influence of the Hermetic thought of the early philosophers of Greece, upon whose foundations of thought the theories of modern science largely rest. The acceptance of the first Hermetic principle, mentalism, is the only great point of difference between modern science and Hermetic students, and science is gradually moving towards a hermetic position in its groping in the dark for a way out of the labyrinth into which it has wandered in its search for reality. The purpose of this lesson is to impress upon the minds of our students the fact that to all intents and purposes, the universe and its laws and its phenomenon are just as real, so far as man is concerned, as they would be under the hypotheses of materialism or energyism. Under any hypothesis, the universe in its outer aspect is changing, ever-flowing, and transitory, and therefore devoid of substantiality and reality. But under the same hypothesis, we are compelled to act and live as if the fleeting things were real and substantial. With this difference always between the various hypotheses, I don't know why they keep saying it like, they should just say various hypotheses. I think they keep saying hypotheses. I don't know why they say it like that. But under the old views, mental power was ignored as a natural force. While under mentalism, it becomes the greatest natural force. And this one difference revolutionizes life. To those who understand the principle and its resulting laws in practice. So finally, students, all grasp the advantage of mentalism and learn to know, use, and apply the laws resulting therefrom. But do not yield to the temptation which, as the Kybalion states, overcomes the half-wise and which causes them to be hypnotized by the apparent unreality of things. That's great advice. I was talking about that the other day. You know, you see people that do that. Do not yield to the temptation and become half-wise and be hypnotized by the apparent unreality of things. The consequence being that they wander about like dream people, dwelling in a world of dreams, ignoring the practical work and life of man, the end being that they are broken against the rocks and torn asunder by the elements. That's what happens to a lot of people, man. I got to tell you from experience, I've experienced a lot of people this has happened to. They get into this stuff and like you're saying here, they realize that it's all an illusion. But because they're not willing to go the rest of the way and do the work of what that under, you know, you can't just stop. Once you realize everything's an illusion, that just doesn't mean you just stop right there. You have to continue to try and understand the illusion and use it as best you can. But like they're saying here, it causes you to become half wise and be hypnotized by the apparent unreality of things. The consequence being that they wander around about like dream people. Well, yeah, you see people, they're just like, oh, no, I don't care, whatever. You know, it's all an illusion, so I don't care if, you know, Alex Jones is trying to get people riled up into civil war. Or, you know, I don't care about all that because we're all one and it's all an illusion anyway. Right. And that's and who also says the exact same thing? The Christians. Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to be raptured out anyway. So who cares? That's dangerous. That's when they've got you. Rather than follow the example of the wise, which the same authority states, use law against laws, the higher against the lower, and by the art of alchemy, transmute that which is undesirable into that which is worthy and thus triumph. Following the authority, let us avoid the half wisdom, which is folly, which ignores the truth, that mastery consists not in abnormal dreams or visions or fantastic imaginings or living, but in using the higher forces against the lower, escaping of the pains of the lower planes by vibrating on the higher. Now that's, I know that to be a fact, that does work. You know, that's what people who want to get you upset about things or get you drag you down to some lower vibratory state. Some people, when they see you happy or they see you doing good, they're so miserable in their own lives, in their own situations, that they start having to do negative things towards you to try and bring you down off of your, you know, your high or your, your crest of the wave that you're riding for being successful or whatever it may be, you know. And so how you overcome those is by constantly concentrating on the higher vibrations. And that absolutely is true. You can make those lower vibrations go away real quick if you don't allow yourself to resonate with those lower frequencies. Only resonate with the higher ones. Keep that in mind next time something is, you know, attempting to get into your space and take your energy. Because, you know, energy vampires are everywhere, man. And that's one of the things that they do. They love to be able to suck the energy of someone who has a, you know, a high energy or a high, you know, high energy soul. And they have a lesser soul because they've pissed it away in bullshit realities. And so then they want to come and try to take yours and bring you down to their level. That's when you have to constantly keep in mind that thought and that vibration of the higher aspects. We do not live in a world of dreams, but in a universe which, while relative, is real so far as our lives and actions are concerned. Our business in the universe is not to deny its existence, but to live using the laws to rise from the lower to the higher. Living on, doing the best that we can under the circumstances arising each day, and living so far as it is possible to our highest ideas and ideals. The true meaning of life is not known to men on this plane, if indeed to any but the highest authority and our own intuitions. They teach us that we will make no mistake in living up to the best that is in us so far as it is possible, and realizing the universal tendency in the same direction in spite of apparent evidences to the contrary. We are all on the path, and the road leads upward ever, with frequent resting places. Read the message of the Kybalion and follow the example of the wise, avoiding the mistake of the half-wise who perish by reason of their folly. That seems to be kind of the overarching theme of that one, which is, you know, and I think that's a good lesson. Because I see so many people who, you know, they get to a certain point and they just feel like they just don't have anything else to learn. And, you know, if you're not constantly evolving the way you think and see these things, you're going to get bogged down in one of these traps and you're just going to become a mental wreck. That's what happens. And just lose everything about who you are and what makes you you. That's what happens when people just stop. You know, they go so far into learning or understanding, you know, any of this stuff, hermetic principles, information itself, the kind of stuff we talk about on these shows and others. Any of that stuff, if you go part of the way and stop and don't continue to allow yourself to grow and understand these things, then you're just going to get caught and bogged down. And that one moment of understanding it, you won't progress any farther. And again, you know, that's what I believe a lot of these people are out there and designed to do, Alex Jones and others. That's their job. That's their purpose. We'll pick up next time the All in All on Chapter 7. That's what the name of the next one is, the All in All. And we'll pick up there next time on the show. The Global Reality, www.theglobalreality.com is my website. See, Right Volume 2 is for sale on Blu-ray and DVD there. Should be getting those in next week and getting those shipped out to you. Stream bill is due tomorrow. We got to get that paid. Please donate at the Chipping Banner or the Donate button, whichever you want to use there. If you want to send us a gift for the holidays, that'd be helpful too. Anything we can get in right now would be of great support, folks, and we sure could use it. So theglobalreality.com is my website. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you, and we will see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night, great day, great morning. Take care.